This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا فكيف تتقون إن كفرتم يوما يجعل الولدان شيبا السماء منفطر به كان وعده مفعولا إن هذه تذكرة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا إن ربك يعلم أنك تقوم أدنى من ثلثي الليل ونصفه وثلثه وطائفة من الذين معك والله يقدر الليل والنهار علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فاقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عباده الذين اصطفى. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete blessings and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the masterpiece. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and bless all his companions and bless the ulama of this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, and may he grant us the ability to have a link with the ulama. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all, and may he bless our offspring and guide us as well as our offspring, so that we can remain on the straight path up to the day of Qiyamah. Honored ulama, beloved brothers, dearest listeners, it humbles me to be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be used to deliver a message for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly for my benefit and then for the benefit of everyone who is here this evening. I have decided this evening to speak on the reality of this dunya. We all know we are living in this dunya. Each one of us feels that we are going to live for a long time. Sometimes as we become older, it strikes us. We realize after a while that, you know, it's not all about the light and the glow of this world, but rather there is a bigger picture. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about that bigger picture? And what do we need to know about the bigger picture? I know and you know that we are going to die one day. That death is not a doom. Many of the people, when we speak about death, or when the ulama speak about death, they feel that they have been doomed, and they feel that sometimes there is no hope now, because we are all going to die. But the truth is, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تُحْفَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمَوْتُ. The gift of a true believer is death. Why does he call it a gift? He calls it a gift because we have been promised, when you read your salah, you will get so much thawab, so much reward. You will see so much goodness. When you give zakah, you are going to get so much. When you go for hajj, you will get so much. When am I going to see that? It reminds me of a little child who is in school. When they work hard through the year, the teacher keeps on telling them, if you work hard, you will get something. What am I going to get? If you work hard, you will get something. It is only at the end of the year, when they arrive at what is known as prize giving, that their prize will be handed to them, first in class, second in class, third in class. So our prize giving is only going to happen after death. So in order to go to the big prize giving hall, the child needs to go to the school on that evening. The same way, in order to get to the big prize giving that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept, we need to go through what is known as death. الْمَوْتُ بَابٌ وَكُلُّ النَّاسِ دَاخِلُهُ. Death is a door that every single person shall definitely go through. So there is no point for me to become depressed when I think of death. There is no point for me to become stressed when I think of death. But yes, I need to be concerned and ask myself the same question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. O you who believe, be conscious of the presence of your Creator at all times, and each one of you should look into what you have prepared for tomorrow, for the future, for the meeting with Allah. So I need to ask myself, I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What have I prepared? Today, if you were to have a meeting with someone special, whether it was at your workplace, whether it was on something to do with some business, whether it was a leader or a counselor or a president or a prime minister, you would probably prepare, and so would I, for the meeting. We will buy good clothing, we will perfume ourselves a little bit, and we will go and present ourselves 5-10 minutes earlier, so that we know that we are at this meeting, we are presentable. What the message we would like to try and portray to whomsoever we are talking to, we'd like them to understand and to have a soft heart towards the request that we are making, and so on. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we go to meet him, what are we going to take there? He doesn't want from us gifts, but he wants something that will really be of benefit for us more than for anyone else. So it is important that I look into it and I ask myself, what have I done What have I done in terms of preparation for tomorrow? And because a lot of us are quite old and sometimes we've committed sins and we sit back and we think, you know what, I might as well continue committing sin because, you know, I'm so gunagar, I'm so sinful myself. What hope do I have? For that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, no, you engage in tawbah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out your sins. The hadith says, التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. This hadith should make us smile, every one of us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who seeks forgiveness, the one who repents from his sin, is equivalent to the one who has never ever committed a sin before. Allahu Akbar. So if I have committed some wrong, كل بني آدم خطأ وخير الخطائين التوابون. The hadith says, all the children of Adam are prone to error. And the best of those who are prone to error are those who constantly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not need to engage in istighfar because he was the best of creation. He was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from committing sin. But still in the hadith, kana yastaghfirullaha, meaning kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yastaghfirullaha 70 marra fi al-yawm al-wahid, in a narration. And in another narration, أكثر من 70. And in another narration, up to 100 times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to engage in istighfar. And for my information and yours, istighfar is not just to sit with a tasbih and see how quickly we can get from the beginning point to the end point so that we can have our names recorded in the Guinness Book of Records. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. Istighfar is to sit with contemplation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Wait, stop, think what you say. And you can hear a reply or you can visualize the reply from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you say, oh Allah, forgive me, I'm a criminal, I've committed so much wrong, ya Allah, forgive me. He says, my worshipper, I love you, I've forgiven you, you are as pure as the day you were born. If you say it once, that's what you are meant to be achieving. Imagine if we repeat it 10 times with true concentration. Imagine if we were to repeat it 100 times with true concentration. Wallahi, when we get up from our sitting place, we will feel purified, inshallah. We will feel guilty to go back to the crimes that we may have committed in the past. So it is important we realize the bigger picture is to do with the akhirah and not to do with this dunya. For that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created us in the dunya as a point of test, He has made certain items visually available for us to see the reality. But sometimes because we tend to become oblivious because we've got good health. If I've got good health and you've got good health, no problems, no heart problems, no arthritis, no this, no that. May Allah grant cure to all those who have sicknesses. But those who don't have it, for example, sometimes you think, I'm healthy, I can't die right now, I still got a lot of time. I'll turn to Allah, you know, I'll go and make hajj when I'm 35, 40, maybe 50. That's not good enough. We need to think to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His sake. We need to think and say, look, I've been given good health by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In return, let me give Him something. Meaning, let me at least engage in what He wants me to engage in. And this is how we will be preparing, inshallah, for the day we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we have seen others who are probably more handsome, more healthy than ourselves. And we have seen them age, we've seen them gray as time passed. And at times, we've seen them die before us. At times helplessly, sometimes with nothing wrong with them, maybe in a motor crash, maybe in a little accident, maybe a sudden heart attack, then why is it that we still don't learn that I am also going? And as I said, no need to be depressed about it, but to be concerned about it. So for that reason, because sometimes we become oblivious, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many messages in the Quran as well as in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time ulama come to us, including the ulama in our own midst, who are by far more important than any ulama who come from outside. Let me explain to you why. You see, if we have a health problem, we go to a doctor. Which doctor do we go to? We go to those doctors who are close to us. We would be foolish to say, I've got a cough, let me go to London. Allahu Akbar. I've got a cough, there's a doctor down the road, let me go and see him and see what he's going to say, and whatever medication he gives me, inshallah, I will try and take it so that this cough can be eradicated by the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if we can understand that I need a doctor close at hand, who can then, if there is a bigger problem, he will refer me to who? To a specialist. He will write a note. Specialists will not take you without a note. He will refer you with a note to say, you know what, this is a patient I've been seeing for the last 10 years. Now he's got a heart problem. Refer him to the heart specialist. Which heart specialist is he going to refer you to? The one in the United States of America? No, the one down the road also, inshallah. Close. So that when you have a heart problem, the minute you feel pain, you can pick up the phone, the doctor will be at home. That is the type of relationship we want. We understand this when it comes to our heart and our blood and our health. When it comes to deen, which is far more important than our heart and our blood and our health, why don't we realize that these spiritual doctors are actually the ulama? Allah has put them in our midst. It is only when we develop a link with the ulama that Allah has kept in our midst through taqdeer and through predestination. Allah has kept them in our midst. When we develop a link with them, that is the only time we will be able to achieve the correct benefit from those who come from outside. So foolish would be a person who thinks, you know what, I'm not going to attend the program of this alim because he's a local alim and I've got a gripe with him. It's only normal that sometimes, because we are all human beings, there might have been one or two things someone may have said that might have created a little bit of a misunderstanding. That does not mean that we should divorce ourselves from the ulama. If we do that, then those who come from outside also, the minute they utter something that is not according to our mizaj, we will say, no, this man is out of tune, let's walk out. Which means we want deen according to our tune. Allahu Akbar, that is a sign of qiyamah. So in order to benefit from those who come from abroad and from various other lessons and so on that take place, we need to make sure that we have a good link with the ulama closer to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of certain verses, and I'd like to read before you some verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this dunya. There are many verses, but some that come to my mind where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'lamu, you should all know, I'lamu. I'lamu means you should all know. Listen very carefully, listen attentively, consider, contemplate, ponder, think about it. Draw a lesson from what is about to be said. أن اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. سبحان الله. Some of the most powerful verses in this Quran are connected to the reality. The reality. What is it? I am living in this world. The Quran says, مَلْ حَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. You should know that this world is actually provision of deceit and those who have been deceived. If someone thinks that this dunya is what is going to keep them forever, then they are deceived. They are deceived. Why? Because, wallahi, even if you study, and what beats us sometimes is to think about the importance we give to the dunya, and if we are to look at how much time we are going to spend in the dunya and how much time we are going to spend in the akhirah, we would then reconsider the amount of time that we spend preparing for another 20-30 years. I give you an example. Take a look at the children today, nowadays. Children start school at the age of 3, I think even below 3 in this country, possibly. 3. Then they're studying from morning to evening at times. 4, 5, the age of 6, 7. Up to when? Up to 20, 25, if they are to do the MA and PhD, probably 30 and 35. Let's say an average of 30 years. So for 30 years, we are studying. To do what? To live for another 30 years. Wallahi, that's it. At the age of 60, your certificate expires. You can tear it and throw it away. Because you will be put into retirement. That's it. Even if you are a big, big specialist, at the age of 60, most probably you will be put into retirement. Retirement meaning, that means my certificates have expired. I wasted 30 solid years studying morning and evening, so many thousands of pounds in order to live for another 30 years. Allahu Akbar. Is that what the dunya was all about? What a great deception. So Allah is warning us here to say, look, We are not saying do not study. No, study. We need the Muslim doctor, the Muslim lawyer, the Muslim accountant. We need all these people in society. But do not forget that we need a Muslim doctor, a Muslim lawyer, a Muslim accountant, a Muslim businessman, and so on. That means make sure you have balance. Make sure you have balanced your deen and your dunya. Make sure you have balanced it. If I have spent time reading the big books of accounts, which are huge encyclopedias, I need to ask myself, how much time have I spent to read the Quran? Have I read one page of the Quran? One page of it every morning. What barakah do I want when I give so much importance to big, big books of chemistry and physics and so on, when I don't have time for one hadith a day, Allahu Akbar? When I cannot sit for 5 minutes in one alim's program in my masjid, or 20 minutes a week, Allahu Akbar. Is Allah not going to question me? I'm prepared to become BA, MA, PhD, so on. You become a professor and you become a consultant and what have you. And yet I am not prepared for my akhirah. So it is important that we realize that if we are to handle the dunya in that manner, then we are deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. We are not saying at all that divorce ourselves from the dunya. Allah created us in the dunya. We, myself and yourselves, we have to live here. So we need to earn. But our earning must not be such that we run behind money. When a person runs behind money, money is anti-magnetic. Money is anti-magnetic. If you have taken light poles of a magnet and you put one next to the other, it repels to the degree that the closer the one magnet gets to the other, the further the second magnet goes. Which means the more we run behind the dunya, the more it will run with us. And we will continue running and we will not stop. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us understanding. So Allah says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبْ. If you want to know this dunya, we would like to tell you, Allah is saying. And Allah cannot be wrong. You remember, He is my creator and yours. He's not wrong. He says, I want to tell you what this dunya is all about. It starts off with la'ib. La'ib means you were small, you used to play. You used to what? Play. The word la'ib is used. Beautiful word. We all know the word la'ib. I'm sure we've heard it even in the Urdu language. It has the same meaning. To play. Games. What type of games? Not sophisticated games. When you are very small, what type of games do you play? They probably give you a little rattle which makes a noise and you shake it and you get happy. To you, that's a toy. That's you happy. People start tickling you on your belly and you say, oh, that's nice. Why? Because you're a little baby. You laugh at it. You smile. But as you grow older, when you're now about 2, 3 years old, when they rattle, what will you do? You look at them and say, I'm not a baby. Isn't that correct? It is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, we will explain to you. It starts off with la'ib, then it becomes lahu. The next word in the verse is lahu. What is the meaning of lahu? Lahu is amusement, a more sophisticated play than la'ib. Now I need a computer game, isn't it? That's what the Quran is telling us already. If someone rattles at you at the age of 5, you're going to want to swear that may Allah protect us from bad words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, la'ibun wa lahun. This dunya starts off with play, then it gets to amusement, more complicated play. Then you have those remote control cars. Then from an ordinary remote control car, as you grow older, you want it to be a Ferrari. Though it is not a real Ferrari, but it's remote control. Because now you are conscious of names. You are conscious of various other things. That's what happens. This Allah is telling us, that's how it starts. And this is the reminder of the truth and the reality. And it's true, Allah, it's a fact. It's a fact. After you have played and your toys and your games, some people, believe me, they grow very old and they still don't get out of that habit of little cars and all that. May Allah grant us understanding, inshallah. So, the next stage is what? After you have now played with sophisticated toys, how old are you now? You're about 12, 13. Say you're teenagers. What happens to a person at teenage? Listen to what the verse says. لَعِبٌ وَلَهُمْ وَزِينَةٌ Allahu Akbar. What is the meaning of zina? Zina means beautification. Now you're worried about what type of jacket I'm wearing. Look into the mirror. Get the mirror here. Take a look at what my hair looks like. What my wrist looks like. Oh, I've got a pimple here. I don't want to go out today in public because people are going to say, look at this big red spot on my face. That is what it is. Zina. So that's the next step. Allah is saying, look, that's the dunya. That is the dunya. You started off like this. You went up further. Now you're going up the ladder. You are worried about what you look like. Teenage. And then what happens? After that, You complete your school probably, and you're still very conscious of yourself, extremely conscious. It is very difficult. Sometimes you try to tell the teenage boys and girls to say, do not be too conscious of yourself. You are a normal person, come on. You know, in Gujarati they say, boru paru ave. You see, now, don't worry, you know, you're looking very handsome, don't worry, carry on. You don't have to stand in front of the mirror, you know. So, after that, what happens? You'd like to earn money, because you know, I can't get married unless I've got something, isn't it? So Allah says, لَعِبٌ وَلَهُوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاقُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. In fact, Allah says, then there is boasting and competition between you. You know what they say at that age? Oh, my father's got this much. Oh, this guy's got nothing. That guy's got nothing. My father's got so much. The other guy comes and says, no, my father's got so much. Tafakur. Fakur. They're now happy about what they have. Why? Because, you know, I'm a teenager. I need to prove to the youngsters that I'm somebody. Look at me. Don't look at them. So we make little gangs at school, and we have little peer pressures on this person, that person. This is the in thing, and that's the out thing, and so on. This is what goes on. If you are in our team, you're in a good team, because we are people who are far more superior than the other team, because they don't have as much as we have, and so on. This is what it is, tafakur, competition. Trying to beat one another in the dunya, that's the next step. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ. Allah says, then what happens is, we've got money, we've got enough wealth, but now we begin to amass the wealth. And we begin to compete with one another when it comes to wealth. You see, sustenance is from Allah. We thank Allah for giving us the sustenance. But sustenance can come with either goodness or with evil. If money makes us humble and you and brings us down to earth with humility, that money will be the means of our entry into Jannah, inshallah. But if money comes to us and brings us the pride and the arrogance and takes us 1 centimeter above everyone else, I normally give the example of people who walk with their noses in the air. You know, they say, why do they walk with their noses in the air? Well, I've devised an answer. I can tell you why. Because they feel that the air I am breathing and you are breathing is not fit for them to breathe. So they need to stick their noses up in the air so it's 1 inch higher than everybody else's air. That's not what it's all about. If that is what wealth is doing to us, where is it going to lead us to? Can it lead us to goodness? No, it can't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, look, you can have the wealth you want, you can go out and earn it, but remember there are huquq, there are rights of people in that wealth, and over and above that, let it bring you down, humble, humility, let you come as a person who feels equal to everyone else. أَنَّاسُ تَوَاسِيَكَ أَسْنَانِ الْمِشْطِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, people are equal like the teeth of a comb. When you have a comb, do you ever find one small tooth saying, you know what, I don't like these teeth next to me, so I'm going to go higher. It won't comb your hair. It won't. You will have to throw that comb away because one tooth is messed up. You know what I'm talking about. The same applies in community and society when we have people who would feel that we are better Muslims than everyone else, either because Allah has granted them the physical acceptance of fulfilling the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Allah has granted them dunya, or Allah has granted them something else. Sometimes what happens is, they end up spoiling entire society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. Remember, the message is mine before it is yours. Whatever I am uttering today here, it is firstly for me, then for everyone else. So it is of utmost importance that we realize that those who have, one day they may not have. And those who don't have, one day they may have. In fact, if you take a look at the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned some of the rulings of wealth, thereafter he says, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. These rules and regulations that are stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in order to ensure that wealth does not remain in the hands of only a handful of people, only the rich. No, there will come a time when rich will become poor, poor will become rich, and so on. We have at times people who used to work for us. After some years, our children have to work for their children. Because Allah turned the table. It can happen. So it is of utmost importance that we realize this, we understand it. Sometimes we sit and we think, you know what, we're living in a solid country, very solid, nothing can go wrong here. Allahu Akbar. We hope and pray nothing goes wrong. But if we have an attitude that has brought us above human beings, above the others, then we are asking for something to go wrong. So it is very important that we always remain, the more you have, the closer we come to the ground, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us mahabbah and love amongst one another. Remember, love will only come when we embrace one another, genuinely. We do not use one another and we do not abuse one another. Sometimes people keep a distance. Why they keep a distance? Because they feel that if I am too close to someone, they might start asking me for so many favors. So because of use, we want to use someone, what they call the term matlabi is used. Matlabi meaning someone who's only your friend because they have a matlab from you, they have a ghara, they have some need, they just want to fulfill something through you, then you can go to hell. May Allah protect us. If that is our attitude, are we proper Muslims? Can we call ourselves real Muslims if that's the attitude? Is that the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion? No. That was not their attitude. So we must realize that we need to calm down and Allah will grant us more and more. Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu was one of the richest at a certain stage. And yet he would stand in the same saf as the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he would go out of his way to greet the others and smile at their face and greet them and try to assist them. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh, a great mujahid, a great man, great alim. He was also loaded, if I can use that word. He was extremely wealthy. He used to send people for hajj quietly. He used to give them wealth. He used to write to the man who used to keep the treasures. He had so much wealth that he had someone appointed to hold his treasures. He used to write to him because he used to go out in jihad every second year. He used to write saying, give this one so much, give that one so much, give this one so much, quietly. Allahu Akbar. Those were the akabirin. Those were the people we've got to look at. And we've got to see how they've been living. And we've got to calm down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and He says, you know what? There comes a time when, if we keep on running behind the dunya keeps on running like the anti-magnetic field that I spoke to you now. It keeps on going and we keep on going with it and it becomes takathurun fil amwal. What is the meaning of takabur? Takabur meaning we want to compete with one another in amassing the wealth. So, I've got 5 vehicles, that man's got 10. He's got 10 vehicles, this one's got 15. That one's got 15, says no, I've got 15. He's got this version, I've got that version. That's not what it's all about. That's not the dunya. That's not what we are supposed to be doing in the dunya. We have a different mission. Yes, by all means, if Allah has given you wealth, you have the right to live it up. Alhamdulillah, no problem. It's halal, why not? But you do not have the right to make you arrogant and to make you feel that you are one above everybody else. No, that's not Islam. That will not end up in goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good health. There are certain things that Allah has granted everyone which money cannot buy. I know that and you know that. Such as contentment. Contentment comes without cash, no money. Money is not involved when it comes to contentment. When it comes to health, money is not involved when it comes to health. When it comes to certain other items, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants whomsoever He wishes, who deserves it. So we need to realize that when we have, we must live up to our standard, but we must not be wasteful. We must not be extravagant. Otherwise, we are asking for the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave us this bread. You know, each one of us knows that when someone has a heart disease, may Allah grant shifa to all those who may have heart diseases, if the person has wealth, they will do anything to restore that heartbeat. Am I right or wrong? They will do absolutely anything. If they have to spend 30,000, 50,000, 100,000, 500,000, 2 million, 5 million, just restore for me that heartbeat. Right or wrong? So one heartbeat is worth millions of pounds. Isn't that correct? I've just explained it to you. How many heartbeats has Allah already given us? Allahu Akbar. How many? He's already given us countless. Put your hand on your chest tonight and see it flickering. And you ask yourself, this thing is going to move, no battery, no nothing, no recharging. It just moves for 70, 80 years, it just carries on. It just carries on. Allahu Akbar, the Qudra of Allah. And the same Allah, we tend to turn away from Him. Allahu Akbar. What are we expecting? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, you see, when a person now becomes old, if they have ran behind the dunya, now what can they do? They've become old. Now the dunya is not going to help them much because they've got a lot of wealth. They know now that they're going to die. Because they've arrived at the age of 65, 70. The hadith says, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ السِّتِينَ إِلَى السَّبْعِينَ. The average lifespan of the members of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. Which means the average would probably be 65. Those who have got to 70, alhamdulillah. Those who are beyond 70, it is known as bonus, alhamdulillah. Bonus. Allah is keeping us on overtime, mashallah. Overtime. May Allah grant us all good lives which are beneficial, where we can spend them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in salah, in zakah, and in good deeds, and with a good tongue. Because good character and good conduct will drive us to Jannah, inshallah. So, if a person gets to 70, 75, 80 and they have wealth, now their consciousness, they know that I'm going. So what do they do now? Now you visit them and they'll tell you, I've got so many sons, I've got so many children, I've got so many grandchildren. You know what? I've actually got great grandchildren now, and there are so many. And mashallah, one has become a doctor, the other one's a lawyer, this one is that. It happens, isn't it? So Allah says that. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Allah says, look, amassing the wealth, competing with one another, then amassing children, competing with one another. Amassing kids, children. I've got 10, he's got 15, this man's got so many. But there is nothing wrong in saying that. But if we are saying it with the wrong intention, with a sense of arrogance in our tone, then it's wrong. Then it's wrong. If Allah has blessed us, we are allowed to speak about the blessings of Allah. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ As for the blessings of Allah, we are allowed to speak about them. But with the right intention to encourage others. No, mashallah, you know, I worked so hard and Allah gave me so much. If you work as hard, inshallah, Allah will give you more than me. Allahu Akbar. Even if you work half as hard. And so on. So if we are mentioning it with a good intention, with the idea of encouraging others, like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for sadaqat, he asked for sadaqat in public. And the Sahaba came, and sometimes the people belittled what the Sahaba brought. But percentage-wise, it was far more than those who brought big amounts. I'll give you a little example. A man worked, this hadith is a sahih hadith, a man worked all night and he came with one sa'. A sa' is actually a measurement. It's a measurement, say, about a few kilos of dates. And he presented it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was going out for one of the battles, saying, O Messenger of Allah, this is my contribution, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is my contribution. Some people scoffed at it. They laughed at it. They said, hey, look at this man, he thinks he's bringing a big deal here. You know, it's like someone asks for money, and someone puts 50 pence, and then they say, look at this man, 50 pence. If we are putting the 50 pence in order to belittle the cause, we are wrong. But if we are putting the 50 pence with ikhlas, knowing that, look, this is what I can give, really, may Allah grant them barakah and me, then through that 50 pence, maybe Allah will grant so much barakah that they will achieve what they want to, inshallah. And Allah will also grant us more barakah, that we'll have many more 50s to give others as well. So when this measurement came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the people scoffing and he responded to them and he told them, do you know what? What this man has brought is better than what everybody else has brought. Why? Because he worked all night. He earned two sa' at the end of the night. Two measurements. 50% he gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us are ready to give 50% of what we have? 50% of my earnings, can I give? Wallahi, we are quite stingy in that regard. May Allah protect us. In fact, I should not use the word stingy because mashallah, there are givers. There are people who give. But in comparison to the Sahaba, we are nobodies. And I can give you another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تسبوا أصحابي فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه. Don't ever speak bad about my companions because I swear by the one in whom my soul lies, by the one in whose hands my soul lies. I swear that if you, any one of you, were to spend mountain full of gold, the mountain Uhud, and I'm sure a lot of us have seen it, Mount Uhud is a massive mountain full of gold in the path of Allah, and my companions who have spent either a two handful like this or half of it, a handful or half of it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that handful and half is better than the whole mountain that we have spent. Either because of the ikhlas or because of other reasons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our charities and sadaqah. May He accept our salah as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has recited this verse for us. And it is in the Quran for us to read as well. To say, look, there comes the time when people then, if they have run behind the dunya, what do? They then begin to compete with one another in wealth. And remember how it started. Little toys, more complicated toys, then zina, meaning beautification, and then it goes up, we earn, we want to get married, so now we start looking at what we look like and so on, and then we start competing with one another in wealth, then when we get married and we have children, we start competing with one another in children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, because obviously we need to enjoy this dunya within the limits of the sharia. Islam is not that you must not enjoy the dunya, no, we need to enjoy it within the limits, and the limits are very broad. The limits, all the limits of Islam do is they ensure that we do not go beyond, so that we do not trample over rights of others and we do not trample over what is prohibited, meaning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us not to do. So if we then continue this verse, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws a parallel. He draws an example, beautiful example. He says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. This example, the example of the dunya, and this example that is cited, is similar to the rainfall that has made the farmers very happy. The farmers have become happy. Oh, beautiful rain this season. MashaAllah, we've got good rain. Good rain. There's going to be a good harvest. And they see the crop starting to grow. So when the nabat comes out, when the crop comes out, oh, they become very happy. They become extremely happy. When the crop comes out, they become extremely happy. Then what happens? If they do not harvest it on time, if they do not harvest it on time, what will happen to the crop? If they do not harvest the crop on time, we all know it begins to wilt. It begins to come down. It begins to become yellow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. That there comes a time when it begins to wilt. And when it wilts, we find that it then becomes useless completely. So with us, what is said here, what is said here is that we have a life, we have health, we are like the little crops. We grow, we are happy with ourselves when we are young, we are youthful. If we do not harvest ourselves whilst we are youthful and young, what will happen is when we start wilting, we will say, Ya Asafa, oh, I should have read my salah when I was young. I should have done this, now I'm old, now what can I do? I can only engage in istighfar. So that is the example. So Allah says, then in the akhirah, when we engage in istighfar, at the end we hope and pray Allah forgives us. As I said moments ago, when we engage in sahih istighfar with correct ikhlas, with the correct conditions of istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. But deep down in our hearts, there is always a little bit of a doubt. Sometimes, you know what, I've committed too many sins. You know what, am I going to be forgiven? That doubt is definitely from shaitan, but it keeps on creeping up because we've transgressed so much sometimes. So Allah says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. When we get to the akhirah, it's one of two things. If we've engaged in istighfar, then it will be Jannah. And if we've engaged in no istighfar, what will it be? عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. It may be severe punishment. May Allah protect myself and yourselves. But also Allah reminds us immediately, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. This is the beauty of the Quran. Wherever there is a warning, there is also hope. Wherever there is something to do with Jahannam, there is something to do with Jannah. Wherever there is something to do with day, there is something to do with night. In order to balance it for us as Muslims. So this is why we are saying, we should not divorce ourselves from the dunya, but we should not swim in it to the degree that we drown in it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those whom, whilst we are healthy, whilst we have good health, we engage in acts of worship to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we improve our lives, and we improve our condition, we become more helpful towards others, we become more polite towards others. This is what will take us to the akhirah, to have a good heart. This is what will take us to the right place in the akhirah, to have removed all hatred and ill feeling from the heart. That is a very, very great act of worship. One Sahabi was told that he was getting Jannah, and the deed that he was engaged in was that every night he used to ensure that he removed the hatred from his heart. He removed hatred, any ill feeling he had against anyone, he took it out and he slept immediately gone. So we need to increase the love between us. We need to be more down to earth, and we need to realize that we are going to come to an end. In the same way, mashallah, I go to work 5 days a week, alhamdulillah. But at least I should be spending 5 minutes with the Quran in the morning. 5 minutes every day. Is that too much for Allah, who gave us 24 hours of the day? 5 minutes in the morning for Quran, possibly another 5 minutes each for every salah. How long does salah take? Not very long. Surely we owe that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, it would be correct if I said we owe it to ourselves, because it will benefit us. It's not going to benefit Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran a very strong warning. He says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you are going to turn away, Allah says, we will substitute you with others. We don't need you. You can go. If you are not going to read salah, don't think we need your head on the ground. We don't. You need it more than anyone else. Allah says, we can substitute you. When you don't put your ground, we're going to get someone else to put your head on the ground. Sorry. When you don't put your head on the ground, we will get someone else to put their heads on the ground. And then they will not be like you. They will be worshippers of Allah. And He's done that in the past. Take a look at the Umam, the previous nations. He's destroyed them. We are so fortunate that we are from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, thumma wallah. Each one of us needs to really consider ourselves lucky that we are Muslims. So many people are moving on the globe. They don't know the sweetness of the Shahada. They don't know what we have. Wallahi, if they knew what goodness we were in, they would fight us in order to take it from us. Wallahi. But we who are Muslims, sometimes we are guilty of not even living as Muslims. And this is the topic, this is the issue, this is the reality of the dunya. This is what the dunya has. And this is how we can actually get so involved in the dunya that we forget the akhirah. So my call here today, my message here today, for myself and yourselves, is let us live in this dunya in such a way that we don't forget Allah. And we don't forget the akhirah. At every moment, at every step in our lives, we must ask ourselves, Ya Allah, if you take me away now, what condition am I in? If you think of that every time, inshallah, you will never be in the wrong condition. Inshallah. You will never. Whilst you are talking to your friend, stay away from swear words. What if your last word was a swear word and then you choked? It's possible. And then you had a bit of a heart attack and you were gone. What was the last word? Keep quiet. Don't talk about it. So you say, no, I don't know. We don't want that to happen. So we need to find ourselves, inshallah, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And let us all have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I end with two things. One is a reminder. As-salah, as-salah, as-salah. Let us all read our salah. The five salah, those are the pillars of deen. If we have the pillar in place, if we have the foundation in place, we will be able to build the building. I gave an example a few days ago in one of the masajid of a foundation, where I said, the foundation is actually when you're digging down. We want to build a big masjid. Very big masjid. The higher we want to go, the more solid the foundation must be. So when you start, and you start digging down, people will say, people who are foolish, I don't think there are any, but people who are foolish, they would say, how can you start digging? Aren't you supposed to be going up? Are you building an underground masjid? That's foolish. Why? They don't know. You need, in order to go up, you need to first go down. So if we want to go up, we need to put our head first down. Our head needs to go on the ground first, then we will find our building going high, inshallah. But if our heads are high, we will drop down. It's like someone who builds a big building, no foundation. Where are they going? The wind comes, it's going to drop, collapse. Something happens, it's out, it's gone. But if they were always down, they will find that building is so solid, the wind can come, it won't be moved, inshallah. So that is salah. That is the example of salah. As-salatu imadu d-dini. فَمَنْ أَقَامَهَا فَقَدْ أَقَامَ الدِّينَ وَمَنْ هَدَمَهَا فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ. Salah is the foundation, the founding pillar of this deen. Whoever has established it is able and capable to establish the rest of deen and has done so. And whoever does not establish it, they really drop the whole deen down. So it's very important. Sometimes youngsters sit and they think, you know what, what's the importance? I'm going to the masjid, for what? Why? How? But we don't realize the benefit of it, that spirituality, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That closeness is extremely important. We really need to think of it, and we really need to look into it. Because we will need it one day. You see, my house and your house, visitors can only come when they know me or they have worked here. I can't just have a stranger suddenly opening my door. He's got to phone me first to say, look, I'd like to meet you. He's a stranger. I might not allow him into my house. I might tell him, you are not welcome here. So this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we feel unwelcome in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means we have become strangers. That's how little we are coming to the house of Allah. We must feel so happy. Your best friend's house, when you are going there to sit at night to have a chat and to have a bit of coffee or to have a bit of tea, how happy do you feel? Just to kill time with your friend. Why? Because they're so close to you. I'm going to his house. This is the house of Allah. We're supposed to be closer to Allah than anyone else. I must feel so happy. Well, let me go to the masjid 5 minutes early today. I need to sit in and read from one of the Qur'ans. Because wallahi, these Qur'ans that we see in the masjid, they will bear witness on the day of Qiyamah, such and such a person read from me. Here, these verses. This person read from me. That person read from me. Ya Allah, I bear witness. And some of us come to the masjid, we've never ever come early, so we don't even know what it's like to pick up a Qur'an and to read two lines, two verses. Close it and put it back. Solely with the intention to please Allah. Wallahi, our spirituality will go zooming up if that's what we do. That is Allah. That is a little preparation. In the same way we want to earn £200 by the end of the week or the end of the day, why can't we read two verses? Wallahi, they are better for you than anything this dunya has, completely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me regular on that, inshallah. And make all of us, inshallah, learn something so that at least we can put it into practice. That is the first thing I said is salah. The second thing is, the last item I will end with this evening, I've already spoken about it, that is istighfar. Let us never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Nobody must feel that I'm a righteous. No, don't. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my worshippers who have transgressed against themselves, who have committed huge sins, tell them, don't ever lose hope in my mercy. So anyone who loses hope in the mercy of Allah is insulting Allah. Because Allah says He is Ghafoor al-Rahim, and if a person loses hope in Ghafoor al-Rahim, then he is trying to say, no, you are not Ghafoor al-Rahim. Astaghfirullah. And Allah says, Kaaba. So don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. We can all become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just by turning to Him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me turning, and grant yourselves turning. We will make a short dua, inshallah, and then close. Allahumma salli ala nabina Muhammad wa ala ali nabina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, grant us goodness in this dunya as well as in the akhirah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our sins and raise our ranks, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us spiritual elevation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save God us from all evil, Ya Allah. Keep shaitan away from us and keep us away from shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you really and truly to uplift us in every single way, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us regular with salah, Ya Allah. Make us from amongst those who can earn halal sustenance, Ya Allah. Grant us increase in our sustenance, Ya Allah, in such a way that it brings us down to earth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us increase in our sustenance in such a way that it brings us down to earth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us increase in our sustenance together with barakah and happiness and contentment, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if wealth is going to bring arrogance in our lives, Ya Allah, don't give it to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if wealth is going to bring destruction in our families and our communities, Ya Allah, don't give it to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give it to us with pure means, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, grant us the best of our wealth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the best of our health, Ya Allah. Keep us healthy. And Ya Allah, make us worship you during our days of good health, Ya Allah. Those whose health is weak, Ya Allah, grant them shifa. Ya Allah, those who are suffering and who are sickly and ill, Ya Allah, grant them shifa. Grant them cure, Ya Allah. We are making dua, Ya Allah, for all those who are seated here, all those who may be listening, all those who from this Muslim Ummah, Ya Allah, from this community and other communities throughout this country and through the globe, Ya Allah, anyone who is ill and suffering, Ya Allah, we've raised our hands and we are asking you to grant them shifa and cure through your mercy and your qudra, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have passed away, Ya Allah, grant them Jannah. Allah, those who passed away, have mercy on them, Ya Allah. Make their graves gardens from amongst the gardens of paradise, and do not make their graves pits from amongst the pits of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the day you take us away with the kalima on our tongues, Ya Allah. Take us away with shahada on our tongues. Grant us the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the grave, when we are asked questions and we are all alone, Ya Allah, you lighten the graves, Ya Allah. Lighten our graves with the nur of Iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you help us to answer the questions that we shall be asked in the grave, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, bless us in our graves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant goodness to the women folk of this ummah and protect them from evil, Ya Allah. The men folk of this ummah, the elderly of this ummah, the children of this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you goodness for every single category, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us closeness to the ulama of our own communities, Ya Allah. And to the ulama across the globe, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the acceptance to respect the Quran, to respect the sunnah, to respect this deen, Ya Allah. And make us from amongst those who constantly engage in true istighfar, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Raise our status, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, really, Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us goodness in our marriages, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are married, Ya Allah, and who may be suffering a little bit of turbulence, Ya Allah, help them, Ya Allah, to solve their crises, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring married couples together in harmony and peace. Ya Allah, make them the coolness of each other's eyes, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are not married, grant them spouses who will be the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who don't have children, Ya Allah, those who don't have children, Ya Allah, grant them children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who don't have children for many years after marriage, grant them children by your qudra, Ya Allah. By your permission, by your power, Ya Allah, grant them children who will be the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. And those whom you have blessed with children, make their children champions of this deen, Ya Allah. Bless them with good character and conduct, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring our children to the masajid, Ya Allah. Soften their hearts so that they can be obedient to us. And help us in turn to be obedient to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you all the goodness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you. And we seek protection from every single aspect of evil that he has sought protection from throughout his life. أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على النبي